Thank you very much for giving opportunity. And actually, the work will be well about some alternative method how to create ultra cold molecules. And so to begin with, we are working on quantum control at ultra cold temperatures. And well, it has been originated on the basis of all the latest developments in the field of ultracold gases. The tool is the optical frequency comb, because it is a truly unique tool for high precision spectroscopic analysis and also studies of the ultrafast dynamics. It offers a variety of parameters for control that are tunable experimentally. Optical frequency comb is generated by the phase log power strain, and the time dependent presentation is
So
the power strain period determines the mode spacing in the spectrum. Then the phase offset frequency in the spectrum is determined by the envelope field envelope. How it's called?
Carrier
envelope offset. Offset. So from pulse to pulse, the envelope maximum, and the maximum of the field of the peak of the field changes. So this induces some systematic phase shift, which is in the frequency domain shown as the offset frequency. Where are you going? Excellent. Now, certainly one of the basic parameters are optical frequencies that are present in the comb, and they are multiples of the radio frequency. Anything integers, large integer, hundreds of integers, hundreds, 200s, like you'll give optical frequency, so and offset frequencies. Also tunable parameter, also pulse duration and the field intensity. Pulse duration, single pulse duration, determines the overall bandwidth of the comb. And titanium sapphire laser provides with the 10 to the 6 modes in the spectrum. So could you imagine just shining with the 10 to the 6 CW lenses together. So it's truly unique tool to study atomic and molecular systems, and certainly control and manipulate and wide variety of applications. So there is a paper, it's 2003, but it is very exhaustive review by Andy Fenton here on the basic definitions of optical. So there is a number of experiments done in ultra cold regime that implement optical frequency comb. One of the pioneers work I just want to give example done by John Lee on the rubidium. It's control experiments, certainly where he selectively drove transitions in the four level diode configuration. This but not that. These are SP1/2 and SP3/2 splitting, very tiny, by phase manipulation. So, theoretical work was performed by Moshe Shapira, and he suggested to use two optical frequency combs with very sophisticated pulse shaping in terms of the amplitude and chirp to create ultra cold molecules from the Kirchhoff states. Using pumped up technique. So, however, certainly John Yeh concluded this experiment, which we see from one talk to another again and again, so by implementing stirrup type of control, but it was emphasized by Simon that it is very complicated moment in this procedure, right, to tune explicitly the frequencies of the laser stops and the pump to find, to to perform our productive startup transition. Green has made very tedious calculation beforehand to find the right dipole transition dipole moment, the state interdigital dipole moment, to accomplish that before June Li was able successfully, certainly, to do that. So, and June Li says that he is very lucky in terms of the choice of the molecule potassium residue. So that for different species, it might be not that easy to accomplish using the right type of control. So, having said that, now we propose and viable substitute to stirrup technique to cool molecules from flashback state. And we suggest to use optical frequency comb.
So what do we mean? Can you say cool? Actually, we are just talking about transferring the population, so it's not.
Right. It's internal state cooling. It is nevertheless cold cooling. It's all right.
This
is just a population transfer, right? Let's postpone this very popular discussion. It is control, right? It is about control at ultra cold, right? So certainly we perform intentionally, right? Stepwise adiabatic population transfer from the flashback to ultra cold state. So, but we go down, right? So we reach the ultra cold state, which is what can I say more? Cooling. It is cooling. So, all right. So let's be constructive and move on. All right. So we consider. Standard optical frequency comb, which is generated by pulse train with no modulation, means that we have a, in time domain, right, we have a pulse train, sum over k, we have Gaussian envelope, and then cosine omega kt, omega t, k is the number of the pulse, t is the period between the pulses in the pulse train, some phase, and we then move to shaping of the phase across individual pulse. Thus, we come to the phase-shaped optical frequency comb. And we do that in the following way. The phase of the field across individual pulse is shaped either sine, sinusoidally, or cosinusoidally. So it's choked, right? Any phase dependence on time, field phase dependence on time, may be called as chirping, so we can see the sine or cosine chirping of the phase of the field. Right? Good. So, and thus we refer to the parity of the chirping. There has been previous work on the studies of the impact of the parity of the chirp onto quantum yield, and our results by Gaswani and our results in consistency and emphasize the value and importance of the parity of the chirp. So we use the sinusoidally and cosinusoidally modulated comb and show that sine sinusoidal modulation causes to full population transfer even in the presence of decoherence, which is, we have experimentally applied parameters for decoherence and show that we have full population. It's fundamental population transfer, while cosine modulation induces the superposition state, so it maximizes coherence. For the qualitative, to good extent, presentation of the temporal and again the power spectrum of the sine, cosine, and standard optical frequency comb. So the pulse train that is unmodulated is shown in green, right? And it gives such a power spectrum, no modulation. Then black is the sinusoidally modulated trade, and it gives the power spectrum that has maximum. Well, analytical solution gives basic functions that define the power spectrum for sinusoidally and cosine modulated comb. So, and this would be the cosine modulated. So the sine and cosine give qualitatively and quantitatively different results for the quantum yield. So one is even, another is odd. Well, so how do we now proceed? Some more details. We model the system of the Fischbach molecules and the ultracold molecules plus the excited state manifold by three-level lambda system. So state one is the Fischbach state, state two is the excited state manifold, and state three is the ultracold state. I should emphasize now that in our numerical calculations, because there is no possibility for any analytical solution here exact, right? You can go to some approximations, but then you lose the major information. So all the analysis is numerical, and it is exact in terms of the solving of the Schrödinger equation. And we implemented for the lambda system transition frequencies as in the experiment by Chung-Ye and also in the experiment by Moshe Shapiro.
So how does the bits of the pulse compare to the vibrational speed?
Well, in our case, we took the pulse duration about 3 femtoseconds. So it is somewhat narrower, narrower than the Fischbach to ultracold. It is broad.
Yes, but then, I mean, you have a gazillion of other levels, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so how do you have a three-level system? Just three-level system?
Well, that's certainly a separate discussion, right? So we may, as the second alternative approach to make the results more fine, right? We may consider multi-level system. But at this, it is very well known, right? So that simple models, they qualitatively bring the information about the behavior of the system to very perfect extent, and then all this improving the results just make multi-level system.
What if you are coupling to the gazillion of other levels?
Why do you call it gazillion?
Which is not a gazillion, but still, right? But you'll be losing a lot of population of those.
No, just listen, okay? it will be next, all right? So we do not lose population.
But you are not including it, Daniel, because you already fixed one state. So you cannot model what he's saying because you are fixing one state. So how how can you estimate that you are not losing?
So the width of your pulse, 3 femtosecond, how many were centimeters?
Yeah, so that's the just if you would let me to continue, this would be much easier, but I may help you guys in advance. So that's the incentive of the implementation of the optical frequency cone, that it addresses all the variety, all the manifold of the excited states simultaneously. And then you don't have to look for specific transitional state to accomplish Dirac type of control using a picosecond or even longer pulses, where for potassium rubidium it happily worked, but not for other molecules. With the frequency cone, you address all the manifold of the excited states simultaneously, and then those transitions that are active, they make contributions. Those that are not, they do not.
And I think Andre's question was the manifold of the state, the ground state of the state 3.
It should drive the transition upstairs.
Yeah, that's right.
In the excited state, the population density, the density of levels is even higher, in fact, right, than in the ground state.
Well, that's correct, absolutely. That's what entropy is fine, because if we make a pulse shaping across each pulse, then we achieve some goal of not populating the excited state manifold at all. So the system response is analogous to the stirrup response, where the two states, the initial and the final, are intact and the excited state.
In the stirrup, right? I mean, you have picosecond long pulses, right? So you just said that. Here you have femtosecond long pulses. So the resolution of a picosecond long pulse is much better than the resolution of.
You certainly work with the optical frequency comb. You know that there is the combination of two mechanisms how optical frequency comb works. It's in time domain and in the spectral domain simultaneously. So this fine resolution of the modes in the spectral domain provide explicit addressing of all the excited states. Right? Let me continue. So now we write the Hamiltonian in the field interaction representation. Once again, it is exact in the context that there is no rotating wave approximation applied, no elimination of the excited state, and it is exact in this context. So the non-zero, non-diagonal curves are this. So M is presented here, it describes the modulation of the field across individual pulse in the form of sine or cosine function. So, and we also, the major goal is to consider how the relaxation dynamics present at ultra cold may affect the method which we propose. So we, in the theory, we introduce the relaxation terms. We do this phenomenologically in terms of the density matrix elements for the spontaneous decay and also collisions in very slow, right? We take them into account. So we perform numerical solution for the Schrödinger equation, and going into details, I will just show results as follows. I will present them for the case when the comb is standard, non-modulated. Then, first of all, no decoherence. We have the standard and then the sine and cosine modulated comb, and see the qualitative difference in the quantum yield for the sine and cosine modulated comb. And then we tune on the decoherence and see that the parity of the chip plays the major key, the key role in this. So that's population of the Feshbach state and the ultra cold state and the excited state manifold as a function of time, subject to the interaction of the lambda system with the standard comb. There is no modulation across individual pulse, and parameters are taken from Jun Ye's work, and we see that it is not actually smooth. It is in a stepwise manner performs population transfer. So within 121 pulses, the population is transferred to the ultra cold state. This would be green, and then it repeats. So if we continue this process, it will bring all the rest back. So it is rather oscillations, but in the stepwise manner. So each pulse brings only some small fraction of the population from the Feshbach
to the ultra cold.
Each pulse area is very small. It is 0.003, something like that, pi. So, but accumulated, it gives some integer number of pi. So it certainly depends on the field, right? So, if you have stronger field, then you accomplish this shorter pulse. Good. So now we implement the sinusoidally modulated comb and see fundamental difference in the response of the system. So the quantum yield is the same. Feshbach goes to zero, population of the ultra-cold state is almost maximum, but the excited state manifold is negligibly involved in the dynamics, so the response of the system, as if the response of the system is Dirac type of control. And this is the key moment, because when we tune on the coherence, the excited state, because it is negligibly excited, involved in the dynamics, it, well, smoothens or mitigates the decoherence effects. So I bring the previous result to this picture, and compared to this, this is the cosine modulated column applied to the pulse dynamics, to the dynamics of the system. We see it resembles the, well, okay, so it's pretty beautiful color, right? That's all what we see. The blue is the Feshbach, red is the ultra-cold state, and orange is the excited state manifold. So cosine induces excitation, involves excited state into dynamics to high extent, and resembles this standard one interaction. Now, with some results in the Wigfield regime and detuned, and now let's look how things change when we switch on decoherence. So now we introduce the collisional dephasing and spontaneous decay from the excited state and also from the Feshbach to the cold state. But we do this in the separate manner, right? We may consider the impact independently. So, and first we look how things develop when, sorry. We use the standard form. If we have only collisions, no decay, then the stationary solution gives us, so this is the Feshbach state manifold, red, black, green is ultra cold, and red is this excited state manifold. But if we also take into account collisions, then, well, the quantum yield is somewhat higher, so interplay of these two rates may bring.
So, how did you take collisions
into account? So, it's phenomenological model. one of the canonical, so we do consider the dephasing, the decaying, spontaneous decay rates in terms of the gammas. Mm-hmm. So let's say, look, rho 1 dot, right? Mm-hmm. It changes gains so from what
I do. But this is right. A normal variable decay.
Right, yeah. And the collisional things come from
okay.
So, and they also contribute gamma small, right, and gamma k. So, right, but it's physically also kind of could be well understood, right? So the impact of the decay, it certainly may balance better the interaction between states.
Well, this is happening in a trap, right?
Well, actually, this is not. This is not. This is before you put that in.
I was just thinking about collisions, removing particles altogether, not just redistributing populations. But that's not the case.
Okay. That's probably would be one more good addition to the model.
Those numbers for
They are large, right?
I don't know.
These are in the omegas, it is said in the omega, in the 3-1 omega, so you end up, these are very large rates, but they are for qualitative analysis to emphasize. Next will be the rates that are for the experimental ultra cold regime. So, but the point that we want to bring from the phenomenon, so that was done. So the last this latest curves, we bring to this next slide, and see the fundamental difference that there are the sinusoidally modulated cone rates, right? So here we have, in spite of the fact that we have very high rates for the decay and collisions, we have almost complete population transfer to the excited state, and the Weisbach state manifold is down, and this is the excited to ultra cold state, I mean, right? This is ultra cold state, green. This is Weisbach, and the excited state manifold red is dead very soon, right? So because of very fast decay. Here, that's once again the same picture, but maybe some more details about the parameters. And this is machine, and this is the parameters that were taken from June's year experiment. And the in the long range, when we have the collisions and the decay are now having experimental data values. Junge's parameters of the lambda, three-level lambda system show this following result. So for the sinusoidally modulated cone, we have more than almost 90% of the population transferred to the ultra-cold state. So this is very long calculation. It's steady-state solution. So the Weisbach states are negligibly populated, and the excited state manifold is just zero. The cosine modulated comb gives very well, good superposition of the Weisbach and ultra cold states, and the excited state again not. Right, so this is the sine, and this is cosine, so odd and even chokes, and they give different, qualitatively different quantum yield in the presence of decoherence. So the cosine resembles the unmodulated population distribution. So, yeah, that's basically my main message to you today, that the, well, that's the mechanisms, how it happens. So two photon resonances are induced by the optical modes that are optical frequencies that are present in the cone. Now we will have a lot of opportunities to discuss this point. So if we have sinusoidally modulated cone, then the carrier frequency and the modulation frequency provide two photon resonances. The difference must be the resonance with and additionally the modes, optical modes that are present in the comb contribute to this transition. In the case if we have just standard comb, this the optical modes are the only one mechanism make contribution. So yes, and that's the message, right? That the frequency comb, in our opinion, may be considered as a viable substitute to stir up process and the creation of ultra-cold molecules from Weisbach state. And the parity is of key importance, parity of the chalk across individual parts is of key importance. And this is more general summary about quantum techniques altogether. So thank you to students who contributed to this work, and also more senior. So there is a number of publications. The latest is in the JSOB, just yeah. Well, that's about ultra cold rubidium, and we'll talk about that. That's all what I need.
So what is the advantage of using a frequency comb over just usual stirrup in a more adiabatic machine? Because if you are adiabatic enough, your population in the excited state doesn't go up very much. Right.
Right. So the.
So what is the advantage of the frequency coupling?
The advantage is that COM addresses all the excited state manifold together.
So what do you mean all the excited state manifold? I mean, from your model, it looks like you just had three states in there. So.
Well, the state. Okay. So you asked me about more general statement, right? That's,
yes.
Yeah, so state 2 I consider now as the not the single state, but the state manifold.
Okay. But the examples that you had were all on this one state.
I don't even look at it. Usually, that's just a comment on that, right? So, stirrup requires a very good frank convex, yeah?
Right.
So, and KRB,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's the KRB is very lucky molecule, that one. John just keeps saying, right? Without the molecule.
Rubidium seems to also.
I mean, according to.
100% transfer.
According to Bill Strollius, in most of these colorways.
Because what you said was the problem with the laser, it's how I
explained. But if you include all the levels, I mean, with your comb, you end up with lots of lines and lots of different detunions and lots of vibrational levels.
Right, right. So they
would continue. That extension.
They would continue.
Would
continue with different probability to the transition, right?
So will they go all the way back to the ground state or not?
Right. So the point is that the slightly.
No. It's not. I mean, so the picture is in fact, I mean, you are transferring small amount of population upstairs, right? And then you are transferring it to the final state, right? So you could go. Ultimately you are creating this population transfers, each interfere against each other, each bit against each other, and you could be in both regions. You could suppose I have the piece of an amplitude here, right? So okay, I take that small part. You are working in the wheel pulse approximation. So you are transferring here that small part, right? The next pulse, you are going to transfer another part. And so these are quantum mechanical amplitudes. They interfere, right? And when the interference is constructive,
it is
good, right? So that is what you want, right? But in general case, in fact, I mean, if you have this manifold of states, right? So what you want to do is to interfere, well, constructively here on all the levels, just to get rid of decay here.
That's what happens with the sinusoidal related common implementation. That's exactly the point. If you take the consider basic function, for the sine and for cosine, you have different alternating sine and front of each term for the sine, not for the cosine. So your peaks are out of phase. That's why they cancel out. That's exactly the mechanism how the excited state is not involved in the process. While for the cosine and for standard, that's the sine is the sine and front of each basic function term is the same. So because I showed just the power spectrum for the sine sinusoidal and cosine modulated, right? It's squared. But if we go to E, it will go just opposite the tooth. Each tooth goes like that. That's why that's actually the inherent mechanism of the parity or importance of the parity, how it operates. Okay. So and now
all of this it depends on the detuning, right? So how well
right now that's absolutely right. The tuning, if we induce the tuning, it does starts to include excited state population to a great extent. That's what we have in our calculations. That's certainly correct. So but then we have to be careful in terms of how much we detune, right? So but still, well, that's.
But I think the point is there isn't a single tuning.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? there are many bidirectional levels in the cone. Okay, it's narrow, but there are many cones.
Well, but it means that they will be
tunings for different levels.
Right, so we are talking about the one photon detuning of the carrier frequency, right? From one specific, let's say, well,
both one photon and two photon. Because you have many levels in the middle.
Yeah, well, no, two photon we can control, right? Two photon detuning we control because we choose the carrier frequency and the modulation frequency such that the difference is in the resonance with the Fischbach to ultrahole. So two photon resonance could be performed 100%, right? But one photon detuning is truly the case, right? So you meet the situation when we have the excited state manifold. So we have pick up some well-educated guess with some excited state, right? So we consider this to be the key excited state, and then we have the variety of the detuning with other states. But now, just let me. Maybe you want to. But now we have another contribution, so not in temporal domain, but in the spectral domain, that we have all these very sharp modes that anyway they stick to the spectrum, vibrational spectrum of the molecule, right? And they, well, there are two photon resonances that do contribute resonantly, result in the contribution, resonant contribution to the ultrahole state. So it's very non-trivial interplay of the temporal and spectral mechanisms.
So I would be interested, do you plan to kind of do your simulations with a few upper and a few lower states? Right. I think a lot of these questions would resolve itself if we would see some of these, that would be a trick.
Right, if to take
if
like...
Just, I mean, I assume that it's hard to take like 100 vibrational states in each
of them.
But if you take 3 or 5 and on both on your state 2 and 3, I think that would probably be rather instructional.
Right, so...
There is an easier actually, is a solution. Just make your pulses much longer. That way you just use spectral.
Well, if you
spectral
take,
means.
If you
but this was exactly my question.
We go in terms of the comb, you face just opposite direction. You want to make pulses as short as possible. That's the point. Then you make very broad spectral profile. Then you have the manifold of these CW lasers. That's the whole idea. So you do not follow the idea of narrowing, then you just go back to the canonical or traditional control techniques which is graph based on, right? But this is just in the opposite way.
Maybe if you can do it, you have a lot more freedom how you can do it, because you are not limited by the single Fréchon factor, etc. So it would be nice if you could do it. If you can do it, of course, the simple way is always easier, right? But if that doesn't work, it would be nice to have this kind of control techniques too. Anyway, I think it's 3:15, which is our wall, our afternoon wall, I believe. All right, thank you.